Heard is cellist Molly Goforth. She also teaches here at UL Lafayette. She's here to talk about a concert that will take place in Angel Hall this week, Wednesday, September 11th, the string quintets of Glazunov and Schubert. And it's a pretty unique combination of instruments. You were just telling me before we went on the air that there really aren't many pieces written for this configuration of instruments. So let's talk about the pieces that you all are going to play, and then we'll talk about the musicians and how you all got together. So tell us about the two pieces. Most people know Schubert. They may not know Glazunov as well.
Yeah, definitely. The two pieces, they're both string quintets. The instrumentation is two violins, one viola and two cellos. The first example of that instrumentation that I know was from the Baroque period. Boccherini wrote a quintet. But other than that, it's just the Schubert was the next one, and the Schubert Quintet is actually the last piece of chamber music he ever wrote. He lived to be 32 years old, and he wrote almost 1,000 pieces. And so this would be towards the end of that. I think he wrote it, finished it in September, the year he died. And then the Glazunov is most people consider to be modeled off of the Schubert. And Glazunov was also a cellist himself. So he might have had a special feelings towards two cellos. And then there's one other piece that I know of, also by a Russian composer, that has this instrumentation. But other than that, I don't know any other pieces for this group.
I think that would surprise a lot of people hearing that. Is it just not common to have perhaps the cello is more an overpowering voice in a small group, or is it just difficult to write a piece for that configuration?
I think it might be somewhat the voicing, because the two cellos are pretty powerful. There's several more quartets for two violins, two violas, and one cello. Schubert has, of course, experimented with different instrumentations. The Trout piece is a different instrumentation as well. It has double bass and piano and cello and violin, and that's a little bit unusual. Dvorak has a string quintet, and instead of a second cello, he has a bass, a double bass. And so that is a little bit unusual. I think the dominant chamber music form that's just strings would be the quartet, two violins, a viola, and a cello. And I think just because that's such a common group, adding or subtracting anybody from that kind of has some logistical problems in terms of getting people together to perform. I think that's probably a big reason why so much is written for quartets and not as much for other groups.
That is just fascinating. Again, I'm sure, you know, we think of there must be just millions of pieces written for strings and surely lots written for all kinds of configurations. So that's fascinating that what we're going to hear on Wednesday is actually very rare configuration and composition.
Yes.
So a real opportunity for all of us to hear that and experience it. So we were also saying before we went on the air that it's kind of interesting when you're a musician, you know, you know these compositions, you've studied these compositions, and you want to make sure that you get to play them sometimes. You know, you just don't want them running around in your head, and you really want to not just play them for yourself, but also for an audience. So how do you go about doing that? Because there's not always just the right group to play what you're interested in. So tell us about these people you've gathered together and how you all became interested in this particular form.
So we all are members of the Baton Rouge Symphony, and that's pretty much how I got to know everybody. And the idea for this project came last year, actually. I took a year of absence from the Baton Rouge Symphony, and I was talking to my friend Stefka, and she's like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I'm just doing more chamber music and so forth." And she was like, "Oh, well, I want to do some chamber music." And we just started brainstorming what pieces we've always wanted to do and never had a chance to do. And the Schubert is a very famous piece, kind of a bucket list piece, I think, for anybody who plays violin, viola, or cello. And we started talking about who we could gather together to play. And we, you know, just kind of brainstormed and asked people. And we managed to get the group together. And so once we had determined that we had the Schubert, we started looking at other piece ideas using YouTube mostly, and found the Glazunov. And we had originally hoped to do it in the spring last year, but time kind of got away with us. And so we've been rehearsing this summer, and here we are.
Well, I think a lot of people wouldn't realize how busy musicians are. You know, you were saying that not only do you teach here at UL, you play with the Baton Rouge Symphony, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You play with other groups. You have private lessons. You're a very busy person, and it seems that that's pretty par for the course for people who are professional musicians.
Yes.
But working together in a small group must be a little bit harder because you are so busy. You are getting paid, I guess, through like symphony, and but these are special personal projects, and so to gather that time to practice and organize, that's really, I guess, a passion project for you all.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's kind of a nice scenario where we all have ideas about the piece, and because it's not an orchestra, we each have time to say what we're thinking, and we're all friends as well. So we can, you know, talk to each other, you know, there's a lot of laughing that goes on. And
it's kind of like a book club for music.
I guess in a way, yeah.
Well, it just sounds like a lot of fun. Can you tell us about the different musicians and perhaps their background? And
yeah, definitely. Stefka Madera is our first violinist, and she teaches in the Baton Rouge Public School System. She does, I think, mostly middle school, if not only middle school orchestra. She also has a private studio as well. And so she's teaching violin lessons. She plays Baton Rouge Symphony. She's played here at the Cadiana Symphony. Emil Ivanov is living in Lafayette now. He has a pretty large private studio that he runs, and he his business, I think, is called Arco Strings. He does excellent bow rehairs. And then Grant Bedillion, he's our violist. He and his wife, Joy, who's our other cellist, live in Baton Rouge. And they run the Grace Notes Music Studio there. And that's pretty much their full-time thing, you know, playing gigs, playing with Baton Rouge Symphony. I think Grant plays with the Cadiana Symphony as well. And then we already talked about myself.
Well, I think people can hear, again, what we said earlier, that musicians, professional musicians, are quite busy doing many different things and playing with many different groups. But you all have a love of string music, and you all came together wanting to do this personal project. So tell us about the two pieces, what you particularly love about them. Again, it's a rare type of composition, but as a cellist, as a musician, what do you love about these two pieces?
So the two pieces, they have a lot of similarities, but the Glazunov is written in this really exciting, robust, kind of romantic style. The first movement is full of a lot of tempo changes and kind of exciting rhythms. The second movement is a really cool movement. It's a fast movement. It's a scherzo movement. And it's interesting because it has a lot of pizzicato. He uses harmonics. He's got sections where the second cello is holding these drones out. And it's just this completely different texture. He's using everything at the time that you would have done on a string instrument. He's using in that particular movement. And it's just kind of a fun, light, happy movement. The third movement is actually a slow movement, which is somewhat unusual. Usually it's the second movement that's slow, but the third movement is a slow movement, and it opens with this really kind of melancholy solo cello melody that's the theme of the movement. And it's just really gorgeous, and it parallels the first movement because the first movement opens with this long viola solo, which is really cool. And one of Glazunov's patrons was actually a violist, so that might have had something to do with
inspired
that.
Inspired him.
And the last movement is a really fun, folksy movement. It has a lot of melodies that kind of sound like a Russian dance, a lot of syncopations, very active, exciting movement to close out the piece. And then the second, we're playing the Schubert as our second piece, and it's kind of one of those pieces where it grows out of nothing. Like the first chords that you hear is just this piano, very soft chord, and it blossoms into this melody in the first violins. And that melody is kind of the seed that the rest of the movement is based on. It's a pretty substantial first movement. And then the second movement of that, the whole piece is really just full of these glorious melodies. Schubert is known as a very famous vocal writer, and you can really hear that. The first violin and the first cello have this really amazing melody in the middle of the second movement on top of these very stormy, fast accompaniment figures in the rest of the group, and it's just this really kind of heartrending moment. And the third movement of that one is the scherzo movement. It's light, much lighter, has a kind of has a recap kind of feel in the middle of it, where it recalls the first movement and the second movement's melodies. And then the final movement, like the Glazunov, is a dance-like folk melody kind of powerhouse ending.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those sound beautiful. If you are just tuning in, just loving what you're hearing right now, my guest is musician, cellist Molly Goforth. She also teaches here at UL Lafayette and is talking about a concert that will take place this Wednesday in Augel Hall. Five musicians, string musicians, will be performing two string quintets, Glazunov and Schubert. If you love particularly cello, this is a great opportunity to hear, as you say, the power voices of the cellos in these quintets because they're quite evident in the two pieces. How does it feel to you as a cellist to be performing these two pieces?
Oh, it's wonderful. Most of the time when I'm playing chamber music, I'm the only cello player there. And it's just really nice to have another compatriot there to kind of play together with. And the sound, I think the sound of two cellos at the bottom, both of the composers dealt really well with the fact that it's kind of a loud instrument. So there's these moments where we have these unison melodies on the lowest string. It's just like awesome. You know, you can't get better than that, really.
Well, I know a lot of people who love cello, and I think there are probably a lot of people listening who really enjoy that sound too. But you can just never get enough of it because, like you said, there's one cello or you kind of bury it underneath other things. So this will be really a great opportunity to hear the power and beauty of the cellos as well as your other friends who play other
instruments.
Yeah,
the violins and violas, they're beautiful as well.
They're good too.
Especially the viola solo at the beginning of the Glazunov that opens our concert. Yeah, you can
Right. And I think this would be a really nice opportunity, too, for a lot of the young string players in town. And there are many who are taking lessons and are in various groups, you know, the ASO Youth Orchestra and playing in different groups. This would be a great opportunity for them to come and see a chamber music concert.
And it is free, so they can just show up.
All right. So it's open to everyone in Augel Hall. It's in the big Augel Hall, 7:30 on Wednesday evening, this Wednesday evening. So it's still early enough. You can get your homework done and go to the concert and really enjoy this great music and enjoy the passion of these young musicians putting this together, giving of their time in on top of their very, very busy schedule. So thank you so much for putting that together. Do you all hope to do other concerts together in the future?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about it. We're hoping to maybe present the same concert in Baton Rouge or Lake Charles, maybe in the spring or later this semester. Right now, we're kind of just trying to power through and
get through this concert.
Get through this concert,
yeah.
And then we'll
your other
we'll go
busy
from
schedule
there
as well.
Yeah.
Who knows how many curtain calls you'll get with this this concert. Again, this Wednesday, Angel Hall on the UL campus, open to everyone, and it starts at 7:30. Is it on the calendar for UL?
Like yes.
If you go, okay, so if you can go to the main page for music.louisiana.edu, and it's on that calendar. Molly, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to the concert on Wednesday.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. UL Lafayette is having a competition to design the Learning Lab, which will be built on campus. It will be a K-12 Learning Lab. If you have some ideas about how to design a space like that, you can enter the competition. Your team does need to have a licensed architect. If you don't know one, the UL Architecture Department has a list and can suggest someone who would be interested in working with your ideas. You have until September 15th. To register, and then October 1st, the design plans are due. For more information or to register, the website is ullearninglab.org. In Lake Charles, Les Petites Voix, a community children's choir for unchanged voices in grades 4 through 12, will start rehearsals today at 4 p.m. Rehearsals are in the choir room of the Lake Charles Boston Academy. Acting Up in Acadiana will have acting classes at the Acadiana Center for the Arts starting today. For more information, you can call the ACA or go to their website. The ACA will also have some teacher showcases, some arts and education showcases, one in Lafayette Parish, which is tomorrow, September 10th, from 4:30 to 5:30 at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. There will also be a showcase for education in the arts at the St. Landry's, for the St. Landry Parish in the Delta Grand Theater. That will be from 5 to 6 p.m. in the Delta. For more information, you can call the Acadiana Center for the Arts or stop by their website. Again, that's two arts and education showcases, one in Lafayette Parish on Tuesday at the ACA, one in St. Landry Parish on Wednesday at the Delta Grand. In Augel Hall on Wednesday, that's on the UL campus, a concert featuring the string quintets of Glazunov and Schubert will be performed starting at 7:30. For more information, you can call the music department or stop by their website. This Wednesday, the Lafayette Parish Libraries will have their annual fall book sale. That will be in the Hyman Convention Center Ballroom. Wednesday night is for the Friends, but you can become a friend of the Lafayette Public Library on Wednesday night for that. For further information, you can go to the Public Library's website. A new exhibit of photography by Philip Gould will open this Thursday. It will continue for Art Walk this coming Wednesday, this Thursday, September 12th. That will open at 315 Jefferson Street, the Creative Spaces Gallery, and that will be open for Art Walk as well. Acadiana Repertory Theater opened The Wooden Heart by Adam Simkowitz last weekend. It will continue this weekend at Cité des Arts. For information or tickets, you can stop by Cité's website. In Lake Charles at the Gibson Barham Gallery, there will be an opening reception this Thursday for an exhibit of work by Clyde Connell. This is a project of the Imperial Calcasieu Museum in Lake Charles. For more information, you can look at their website. And Festivals Acadien et Creole will have a gathering this Friday, September 13th. It is the opening reception and the official poster unveiling. The poster this year is by artist Melissa Bonham. The opening reception will be at the Hilliard University Art Museum in the Hayes Town Building on the UL campus. At Vermilionville, there will be a symposium on expanding the economic and cultural resources of our river, entitled Rediscover the Vermilion. That symposium will be Friday the 13th, from 7:30 to 1:30 p.m. For more information, you can go to Vermilionville's website or the Bayou Vermilion District. This weekend is Word Crawl in downtown Lafayette. It's a poetry reading marathon. It starts at 12 noon and goes until 12 midnight. 12 hours, 6 venues, and over 40 authors. This is all to help out Festival of Words, which takes place in November. It is also a grand celebration of literature and readers of literature. You can go to Festival of Words to find out more. You can find a complete listing of all of the readers and a map of where to find the readers from 12 noon until 12 midnight this Saturday, September 14th. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button. You can listen to audio on demand of all of our locally produced programs. Search for the program you're interested in on our website and the date of that show. You can listen to it on your phone, laptop, desktop, and share that link with friends and family as well. Please stay with us this afternoon and evening. In just a few moments, we will be joining NPR's All Things Considered.
This summer, we lost a giant of American jazz. Randy Weston was not only a virtuoso maestro on the piano, but a lifelong explorer of the African roots of American music. Hello, I'm Georges Collinet. Join me for Randy Weston, A Jazz Life with the African Ancestors, next time on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 here on KRVS.
Bonjour and hello. Listen to the Franco Mix at 9 p.m. on Thursdays with Drake Benoit LeBlanc, exclusively on KRVS 88.7. Et c'est formidable.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.